Let's call the Senate Committee on Healthcare and Veterans Affairs to order. Today is Tuesday, March 24th. Welcome, everybody. For those of you who had one day spring break yesterday in district, doing work in district, great.
Oh, that's what we were supposed to do.
Yes, that's what you were supposed to do. All right. I did have my income taxes finally done, so that was good. All right. With that, I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 521. Mr. Shook.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 521 addresses the definition of chiropractic practice, adds evaluation, diagnosis, and treatment of subluxation to definition of chiropractor.
All right, with that, I would like to call a constituent of mine, a chiropractor in Gresham, John Cafferty, up, and Brian Stearns. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Dr. Brian Stearns. I'm a chiropractor in the state of Oregon, and I practice in Salem here. I'm accompanied by Dr. John Cafferty, who is practicing up in the Gresham area. I am a member of the Legislative Committee of the Oregon Chiropractors Association, and as such was asked to make this presentation today. I'd like to thank all of you, first of all, for all the work you've done in this legislative session. I know how arduous it can be. And I want to thank all of you for giving us the opportunity to talk to you about this today, as well as the co-chairs here specifically for assisting us in giving us advice in the drafting of this bill, and both of you for giving us the opportunity to move this legislation forward. Basically, this is a housekeeping bill clarifying our Practice Act to keep us in compliance with federal regulations and with the chiropractic colleges in the United States. A number of years ago, when Medicare drafted their legislation relative to health care and included chiropractic, most states altered their practice acts to make their practice acts, you know, compliant with these federal regulations. And for some reason, and I wasn't around in Oregon at the time, that was delayed in Oregon and really hasn't been caught up since that time. Most of the language, 90% of the language of this bill basically comes from a document called the ACC paradigm. The ACC is the Association of Chiropractic Colleges and includes all the chiropractic colleges in North America. This document that I've provided a copy of to you basically describes chiropractic and the concept of the subluxation and has been adopted or endorsed by virtually every national and international chiropractic association. While this bill does not expand or alter or diminish the practice of chiropractic in Oregon, it does clarify it and helps to keep us in compliance with these federal regulations that I described earlier. As you're aware, over the last several years, we've had more than one chiropractic association in this state. For those of you who've been around for a while, you're aware of that. At the end of last year and the beginning of this year, these two associations that were standing at the time dissolved and formed one association. That's who I am here representing today, the Oregon Chiropractic Association. And we support this bill as an organization, as does the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. We ask, as a profession, that you support this important legislation, inserting this specific wording into our Practice Act to keep us in compliance with federal regulations and also to keep us in compliance with the national and international chiropractic colleges. I'd be happy to entertain any questions if you have some.
We received a letter, or I did, and I'm sorry I didn't make a copy, from LC. Oh, it's in there. And so I'd like to ask This is what Marissa James, a deputy legislative counsel, said. She said, I don't believe that this amendment is necessary for chiropractors to receive Medicare reimbursement for the limited chiropractic services covered by Medicare. Now, do you see that this is an issue? The law requires only that the chiropractor be authorized by the state to practice chiropractic in order to be a physician for purposes of Medicare.
The legislation basically includes the language regarding chiropractic and the subluxation. And I've given you a copy of the Medicare legislation in the packet that I provided to you. And it says,
purpose of subluxation.
The purpose of chiropractic is to correct a subluxation, and that language was not included in our practice act. That's one of the reasons we wanted to make sure that that was included, because it's something that's required by Medicare.
To correct is, you'll have to explain that a little bit more.
I'll let Dr. John address that.
Okay. I was given this by the Executive Director of the International Chiropractic Association, of which I am the Oregon representative, and I go to Washington, D.C. once a year to the World Conference.
And just state your name for the record.
My name is Dr. John Cafferty.
Okay.
The big problem is there is a section of the federal law which states a chiropractor who is licensed as such in a state or region, all right, and only for the purpose of treating manual manipulation of the spine to correct subluxation, in which he is legally authorized to perform in the state, which means, according to the attorneys for the International Chiropractors Association, it has to be in the statutes to be legally authorized. Your other question you had to do with limitation. There is no real limitation in Medicare. If you're familiar with the federal form, that's all you have to do, is if you fill this form out properly, you get more care for your patients. So that's never been a problem with chiropractic.
Okay. So basically you say, because it's in our statute to say correct, you need to...
We need it in our statutes, in other words, to be legally following the federal statute.
Okay. Does it have anything addressing the limitations on coverage of chiropractic services under federal regulations?
No, because of this form, which is a federal form, if we use it, it solves any problem you have with limitations. It's referred to as an exacerbation affidavit. It's a legal form.
Okay.
Where would you use this as an example? Let's suppose he was my patient. And he's got real well, okay? All of a sudden, he decides he's going to go out and mow the grass and re-injures himself starting the lawnmower. That's an exacerbation. All you do is fill this out. He's covered.
So I think the short version of this is it really doesn't change limit or expand our practice act.
Right.
It just makes it more clear as to what it is we do.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Is there any discussion here? Yes, Senator Cruz.
Yeah, I'm reading the, Madam Chair. Thank you. Reading the bill. Can you give me a plain English explanation of subluxation? I mean, is that different from? I mean, I go to a chiropractor.
Yes.
Okay. And I've got. My body's all screwed up because I'm old, but you know, and his purpose is to align me and kind of get everything where it's supposed to be. How does subluxation fit into that, or is that what it is?
The basic complex of a subluxation is what was described at the beginning of chiropractic, and it's a whole complex of things, including interference with the nervous system, limitation of the way vertebrae move in relationship to one another, how they sit on one another, and that is described in that ACC paradigm, and it's recognized by the federal government. And that's why we want to make sure that this all gets tied together and makes the interaction of these practice acts more cohesive.
Follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So subluxation is kind of the core function of chiropractic.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Okay. I was, Madam Jared, I was thinking we're at it. This is something different, or if it's...
No.
No, the first time I heard that word, I'm thinking, what's a subway station, you know?
Okay.
Will this increase, then, the ability to get reimbursement from Medicare with this language, you feel?
I don't think it will increase it, but it will. Clarification will solidify our ability towards that. And this is really important, I think, with the looming possibility of national health care. We have to have our Practice Act in compliance with the federal statutes in order to make sure that we can be included if we so desire.
All righty. Further discussion? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
And I would like to call the physical therapist up. Thank you, Dr. Cafferty.
I'm just moving up.
Hello.
All right. Okay. They don't make these chairs slide to me.
Do you have your piece of paper? No, I don't have it. She's giving him a piece.
Go ahead.
Chair Monis Anderson, my name is Ricky, and committee, my name is Ricky Sussick. I'm from the Oregon Physical Therapy Association, and we came here at actually your request to kind of talk about our feelings about this particular bill. While we don't really have an issue about chiropractors and what they do and what their practice is, that's fine with us. We wanted just to make sure that our ability to continue to do manipulation is preserved, and nothing in the definition of chiropractic here would in any way limit what we do. And also, I have to say that as far as subluxation goes, chiropractors have their own definition of spinal subluxation, and it's different really than what a lot of the medical definitions are, which is basically a partial dislocation is what the normal medical definition of a subluxation is. Chiropractors have built a whole practice around subluxation and how subluxation in the spine actually affects even the organs of the body, you know, your gallbladder or your liver or your kidneys, and sort of your general health. And again, that's okay. That's what they learn and what they practice. But we just kind of wanted to clarify that a little bit, and also clarify our own practice with respect to chiropractic. We don't do chiropractic, but we do a lot of the things here. We don't treat subluxation in the spine. So,
Well,
introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Steve Barsotti. I'm a physical therapist and part of the legislative committee for the Oregon Physical Therapy Association. I concur with Ricky, and the term subluxation conveys chiropractic thinking and is inconsistent with the accepted medical definitions of in conventional medicine, as per the Dorland's Medical Dictionary describes it as an incomplete or partial dislocation, which doesn't really describe the chiropractic subluxation circumstance. And so I would recommend, for the intent of clarity, that we define the practice of chiropractic in chiropractic terms. For example, a chiropractic diagnosis, not to distinguish it from a medical diagnosis, a chiropractic subluxation, to put those verbiage in their bill so that it's not misleading to the public, and conventional medical thinking which describes a different circumstance. So, and also the use of a chiropractic spinal adjustment in terms of what they do. You know, I have no objection to the procedures that they perform, that the chiropractic profession uses, which include joint mobilization and joint manipulations that are also practiced by other practitioners. In physical therapy, we do joint manipulations and spinal mobilizations, joint mobilizations to the spine, as do osteopaths and others. And to keep, I think, clarity is what we want to achieve, and to distinguish the different professions as such, I think, would be a nice outcome of any bill.
Thank you very much.
My name is Noel Tenoso. I'm also a physical therapist. I'm in private practice in Wilsonville and West Lynn. I just want to add more to my colleagues that we've practiced joint mobilization and manipulation for many years, and we've done it since I want to sort of amend what I wrote in the letter that you'll have, that we've been practicing it since 1928, and as opposed to 40 years, so a little longer than I realized. But we learn it in our schools. We also learn it postgraduate very thoroughly with residency programs. But our aims to treating is not always we don't treat subluxations. We treat things that limit the ability to move, and we apply our hands to it, enabling the patient that we're treating to move better. So, for example, if we all sit for a long period of time, we have adaptive shortenings of our soft tissues and joint mobilities, and we just use our hands to enhance that, the ability to improve our posture and hopefully to reduce ailments that affect us.
Okay, questions? Thank you very much, and I'd just like to ask Dr. Cafferty and Dr. Stearns to come back up real quick regarding definition here. And my question to you is, I know this section in ORA 684.010, it starts out in section 1, where chiropractic means, and underneath that you put this. So it's my understanding that this is definitely a definition for chiropractors and does not affect the definition of a physical therapist.
To the best of my ability, that's my understanding,
okay.
Yes.
So what we'll need before we go further is to make sure, is there any definition in statute, or does there need to be any definition in statute for joint manipulation for physical therapists? And so I'd sort of like to have that clarified before we move forward.
This stage, I think that that's kind of an issue for the boards, their respective boards to deal with. I don't know that this is going to change anything. We have there is an underlying medical definition of a subluxation. Chiropractic subluxation is a variation of that, and that's what's described in that ACC paradigm, and that's what's referred to in that's what we're referring to in our.
Excellent.
That is also that definition.
Introduce yourself again for the record. I'm sorry.
The definition has also been accepted by the World Health Organization.
And that was John Cafferty.
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Okay, so I would like to have a statement from the Board of
Chiropractic Examiners, yes.
Examiners as okay,
their
so,
support.
But I want them and the Board. Is it the Board of Physical Therapists or the
Physical Therapy Licensing Board?
Yeah, Board of Physical Therapy Licensing Board. Or Physical Therapy Licensing Board. Oregon Physical Therapy Licensing Board, to give us a statement regarding this piece of legislation, and if the two boards need to talk to each other, just for clarification, I'd appreciate a statement as such. Okay? Yes, Senator Cruz.
In our packet there, a letter from our Board of Examiners.
Yes, and it does say the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners last Thursday, this was a letter dated March 24th, 2009, voted to support the changes proposed by Senate Bill 521.
Yeah, okay. Madam Chair, I guess if there's a confusion as to definitions, maybe we're like in the new Section C and also in Section 3 of the amendment, if it was stated rather than just subluxation, it was chiropractic subluxation, maybe that would be the clarification. I know it's referenced above, but that would make it clear. Just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. So if the Board of Oregon Physical Therapy Licensing Board has an issue with that, let's make sure that an amendment, if it is needed, is drafted, but then make sure that it is shared with the Dr. Cafferty and Dr. Stearns, as well as the Board of Chiropractic Medical Examiners. Okay? All right? All right. Any other questions? All right. With that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 521, and we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 23.
No, 175.
Sorry. Is 175 next?
Yes, 175.
Okay. Let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 175.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 175 revises the provisions for psychologist licensing exemptions and limits the exemption from psychologist licensing requirements to 24 months for employees of state and local government agencies, community mental health programs, and drug and alcohol treatment programs. Madam Chair, this bill was heard on February the 10th. There were some general questions about the Department of Education and some other departments within the state, like the Oregon Youth Authority. Those issues were addressed in a letter that's in your packet, dated February 12th, from the Executive Director of the Psychologist Examiners. And the representative from the Department of Education is ill this morning, is not here. However, the Executive Director of the Psychologist Examiners is here to address any of the issues that were raised at the February 10th hearing.
After reading the bill, I looked and saw that employees of community mental health programs or drug and alcohol treatment programs have initially been exempted permanently from this statute, but this legislation would change that exemption to 24-month exemption. So I sent an email out, and it was like 10 o'clock last night. Sorry about that, but I didn't catch this until then. And we have not heard from the drug and alcohol treatment people to see how this legislation would impact them. So if everyone would just hold tight until we get some more information from the drug and alcohol treatment program folks to see how that would impact. And do you want to comment on that, or shall we just wait and see what their reaction is to that, that statement? Well, let's just wait till we get it. Let's just wait, and we will reschedule it when we have, and Jonathan Eames is taking the lead on this, and to get back to us with that information, if that's all right. Okay? All right. With that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 175, and we will open a public hearing on, I don't have my
23.
Senate Bill 23. Mr. Schiff.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 23, which you heard on January 22nd, establishes the Oregon Patient Safety Commission as the central agency for collection of data and analysis patient safety organizations in Oregon. It requires the commission to analyze statewide patient safety data, to compare statewide data to federal data, and report the findings. It also authorizes the commission to use the Department of Revenue Collections Unit to recover unpaid fees from participation. Madam Chair, Senate Bill 14, which passed this committee, had a sunset provision which passed, and that's the companion bill. This bill establishes the commission as the central agency for data collection.
Before we go into work session, because I think we can work this bill today, I want to talk with the committee regarding the. In fact, let's just close the public hearing on Senate Bill 23 and open a work session on Senate Bill 23. Before you, committee, you have three amendments, and I would like to talk about the Dash 2 amendments very, very quickly. We talked about the Long-Term Care Association basically came before us and said they really wanted to have a work group. And so they drafted this particular legislation. And the reason, and then the idea was kicked around with a task force. Well, a task force isn't going to fly within this, I think, legislative session. So I'd like to get on record that this committee would have a letter drafted to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission that they shall convene a work group chaired by the administrator of the commission, and the primary focus of that work group would be to improve the quality of care within the nursing homes by finding a new balance between external regulation and internal quality improvement. And then the work group shall also focus on enhancing quality improvement practices in the provision of long-term care services, creating a more rigorous evidence-based approach to quality and safety, to coordinate quality improvement activities, initiating a joint quality improvement project to test new accountability strategies, and striving to create a responsive regulatory model. Then the work group shall include, but is not limited to, individuals representing DHS, the long-term care facilities, the medical providers, the consumers of nursing home care, advocates for consumers of nursing home care, and quality improvement experts. And then the work group shall develop a consensus approach to reviewing and enhancing the long-term care survey process and shall implement a pilot project to test the approach. And so, and then if the Legislative Assembly meets in special session in February 2010, if we do that, the Commission then will submit an interim report. And hopefully this will give impetus to that group to really get together and come forth. Long-term care is extremely important in this process regarding safety, and that would be my recommendation if I can just get an A or nay. If you would rather put this in statute, then I would go for that also. Senator Morris?
Madam Chair, I believe that we can accomplish the same thing without putting it in statute. If it goes in statute, this bill probably goes down and dies.
Because it would have to go down to...
because it has a referral. And I think we can accomplish the same thing.
Okay.
At the direction of the chair. So.
Okay. Thank you.
I would agree.
Senator Cruz?
Yeah, I would agree. Let's be careful what we put in statute.
Okay. Now, do we have a fiscal?
We do not have a fiscal on 23-4.
And... 23-4.
We had a fiscal on 23. Then, since then, we've had three amendments. The 23-4, which is the most significant amendment relative to budget, is that the expenditure part of that was taken out, and so you have 23-4 in front of you.
Okay. So what we can't move this bill until now. What I would like then the committee is to consider the dash ones and the dash fours. Dash ones, basically just on page 3, delete from participants and inserts unpaid. And would someone like to explain that amendment? Yes, Mr. Damon, would you come forward?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Dameron, and I'm the administrator of the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. The Dash 1 amendment simply replaces the words from participants with unpaid. The problem was the words participants. The commission can collect fees, and it's an important principle, can collect fees from both members of participants in our reporting program and those hospitals, nursing homes, ambulatory surgery centers that choose not to participate in the reporting program. So we have a voluntary program of reporting, but the fees are more broadly based, and those by statute put in law in 2007 require all hospitals, all nursing homes, all ambulatory surgery centers, et cetera, to pay their fair share. So having this language in about participants would subtly undermine that principle. And this is a piece that simply relates to collections from the Department of Revenue. So it basically says the Department of Revenue can collect fees from all of those who owe fees to the commission. And that is independent of their reporting statute status. And this also becomes important because at the request of Senator Bates and others, the commission looking into the idea of can we receive Medicaid match? And the preliminary answer is it looks like we can. It's not going to be a lot of money, but it'll probably, if it works out the way the initial sketches suggest, it'll be about $30,000 a year. But it has to comply with being broad-based and uniform. And for that to be the case, the fees need to apply to all hospitals, not just participants versus non-participants. Mm. So we need, again, to reinforce that language that we're talking about all hospitals, all nursing homes.
You can't force, though, a hospital to pay the fee to the Oregon Commission.
Actually, well, we by statute, we can,
okay.
Madam Chair. What we can't do is force them to report adverse event data.
Oh.
We can't force them, we can't compel them to enroll in our reporting program. But we can say you must pay your fair share of supporting this greater good with your dollars.
All right. Yes, Senator Bates.
There's a small percentage of ambulatory surgical centers in hospitals, a very small percentage, who have not paid their fees. And we're not quite certain why that is, but in order to get match, you have to have a policy that says, if your original statute says everyone's supposed to pay into it, but you have no way of enforcing that, you've got a problem. So this actually is a technical fix so we can get matching fees, and it gives us an opportunity to talk to those individual institutions that haven't paid their fee. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward thing. Why haven't you paid your fee?
So, okay. That's great.
That's good. I think it's good.
Do I hear a motion on this?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 Amendment, Senate Bill 23.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 Amendments into Senate Bill 23. Any discussion? Any opposition? So ordered. Now let's talk about the Dash 4s. And would you explain those amendments, Mr. Dameron?
Sure. Again, this is Jim Dameron, Administrator of Patient Safety Commission. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Dash 4 does two things. It essentially eliminates two sections of Senate Bill 23. It eliminates Section 3, which refers to a mechanism by which the commission might receive state dollars, and it was linked to Senate Bill 15, which is going nowhere. So there's probably no great reason, compelling reason, to keep Section 3 in. It simply says, however, it simply says if the state were to share general funds with the Patient Safety Commission, here's how we would do it. The commission's point of view as of now is that let us come back in 2011 and try again. And for the moment, it'll be a cleaner bill, simpler bill, without any unintended consequences, just to eliminate that section. Section 7 refers to a sunset clause. It was added in a kind of redundant way, depending when these were framed. We didn't know the fate of any of these, so Senate Bill 14 was signed by the governor last week, so that eliminates the sunset clause on the Patient Safety Commission. This Section 7 of Senate Bill 23 is no longer needed. This simply eliminates it.
Excellent. Do I have any discussion on this or a motion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll move the Dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 23.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 23. Any discussion? Any opposition? So ordered. And now we will need to get a fiscal statement on the bill as is, as amended. So with that, unless anyone is dying to talk on this bill, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 23. And
we have a work session on Senate Bill 716.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 716.
Madam Chair, 716 work session was scheduled for the sole purpose of referring Senate Bill 716 to Human Services and Rural Health Policy, based on similar immunization bills before this before that committee.
Just as a reminder to those people in the audience, whenever you want to have a bill referred, come to the chair, because I'm usually pretty amenable to referring, rather than going to the administrator, because then the administrator had to come to me and say, should we refer this bill? So I talked with the chair of the Human Services Committee, Senator Morissette, and they've already been dealing with immunizations, and rather than us getting bogged down with that, I agreed with the proponents of this bill that it should not be in this committee. So we're in a work session.
Okay, I'm trying to think of what the proper phrasing of the motion is here. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 716
to the President's office.
Referred to the Office of the President for subsequent referral to the Committee on Human Services and Rural Health Policy.
Hopefully that language is correct.
We'll clean up this language
Yes, we do want it to be go back to the President's desk for re-referral. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
We still can't.
With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 716. And is that all we have for the day?
Madam Chair, just a reminder that on Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock in Hearing Room F, you'll be meeting jointly with the House Health Care Committee to engage in a conversation around a work session on House Bill 2009.
Never heard of it.
And the following Monday, which would be the 30th, 6 o'clock, joint meeting with the House Health Committee and Hearing Room F, continued work session on 2009. However, the Senate Health Care Committee will have a work session on Senate Bill 451, 452, and 457, which are three of the seven Oregon Health Fund Board bills.
And if anyone has concerns about those particular bills, will you come to me? And that's 451 is the POLTS, 452 is
electronic medical records.
Yeah, electronic medical records, and that we have federal stimulus monies coming in on that. And 457 is the workforce. Which I think were the easiest bills, and definitely cost containment and transparency, accountability, that hopefully everyone is agree with. Yes. Any comments?
No comments, except on the bill you didn't mention, 456. I'm going to give you a potential amendment to it I want you to, be able to take a look at.
Okay. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. With that, colleagues, we're adjourned. Mm-hmm.